intellects, vast, cool, and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
PC Invasion is proud to announce that this E3 podcast will be available free and exclusively to PCInvasion.com. Yes, that's right. Give it up. Give it up, everyone. Tim McDonald, are you excited about this?
Does that mean we're not on iTunes anymore?
Oh, we might be on iTunes.
Okay, so it's just a timed exclusive. timed exclusive. It's a PC exclusive.
Yeah, like, PC.
This is the only personal computer that you can
absolutely
get on.
Only this one that I'm looking at right now. If you come around to my house, I'll let you listen to it. But otherwise, tough shit. Hello, everyone.
It's a good thing that this doesn't go out to like millions of people, because otherwise that would have been like an invitation for people to come over to your house. And people actually.
I know. Imagine if I was a popular streamer and people actually kind of looked up where I lived and stuff. That would be a genuine problem. Fortunately. Yeah. I don't think I need to worry.
Fortunately, we're really unpopular.
Hooray! The literal hundreds of people listening to this don't really care. And that's good and healthy. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Peter.
We survived E3. That's good, isn't it? I mean, just about, in your case.
Still not quite sure. Still recovering blunt.
But here we are.
So I'm hoping that this podcast is going to be about 5 minutes long, so I can go and lie down again.
The E3 one notoriously will be short. Nothing happens at E3.
We can't talk about games we've played anyway.
That's true.
So that should knock off like half an hour.
Yeah. Well, we'll try and keep it light and breezy, I guess. We're not going to cover absolutely every single PC announcement across E3. That would be suicide. But
actually, that might be quicker. We could just like list every single PC
just list games,
and then we can basically just say, is that good? Is that bad? Right, next one.
We could do that. That would be a bit boring, I think. I think we're gonna take the conferences in order, and we're gonna do good things and bad things until we run out of things to say, and then move on. Shouldn't take too long to run out of good things, I would imagine.
Be here forever.
Nah, it'll be fine.
All right, okay.
Look, if the first couple take about half an hour each, then we'll reassess this.
Will reassessing it take another half hour?
Yes, and then we'll finish, and that'll be an hour and a half podcast. Right. EA's conference, Tim. Can you remember far back in the mists of time, 10 days ago or so?
I remember mental anguish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This was partly, I think, because it was the first conference, and so I was just like, "Oh God, it begins!" And it was partly because of the incredibly slimy corporate bullshit. Like, hey guys, we're connected with the community. Look, here's a YouTuber talking about things.
We're and down
here's
with
another
the kids.
One. Here's another YouTuber who can't read an auto cue and has fluffed up all the lines. Quick, get the actual Need for Speed guy on to cover.
Yeah. It was a bit. Yeah, it was gross. Shit. It was shit. It was gross. It was
utterly grotesque.
It was like some massive cycle of exploitation. It was EA exploiting these YouTube folks who they probably didn't pay, other than just like flying out there. It was those people betraying their audience by becoming corporate shills. It was just horrible all round, basically. I mean, I did feel bad for that guy with the auto teleprompter thing, because like
I didn't.
Well, you're more of a dick than me, I guess.
I am pretty famously a dick.
I felt bad for him. Like, he's not trained to present a conference. He's just been thrown in there to say nice things about Need for Speed or whatever the fuck.
Wasn't he the guy who did like the YouTube channel that was specifically about doing really awful pranks to his girlfriend, and then his girlfriend broke up with him?
Oh, yeah. Well, in that case, fuck him.
I think his girlfriend also did pranks on him, but yeah, and then they broke up, and
I didn't realize he was a prank channel shit. All right, well, fuck him then. I hope he was miserable and all of his friends disowned him and then he died.
Okay, now you're more of a dick.
I've done a complete 180 on this assessment. Anyway, so yeah, the presentation was horrendous. Why was Battlefront 2 being presented like an esport? Battlefront isn't an esport. It's just a casual knock around. Play as a Star Wars guy in a shooter, isn't it? Have I horribly misjudged this game?
No, that's about right.
Yeah,
I don't think it was so much that it was like presented as an esport. It was just like, look, this is the big thing that everyone wants to see, so we're going to show it for literally half an hour.
But they would...
you can sit through an entire multiplayer match.
Yeah, but the commentary was very sports oriented.
Yeah,
it was.
Commentary was wank, though.
It was
just
wank
in general.
Yeah.
I will say, actually, like in Battlefront 2's favour, and this is a thing that I have recently learned that a lot of people disagree with me about, I thought that the person who presented the Battlefront 2 stuff was actually one of the best presenters there.
Oh, the person who's playing the main character in...
Yeah, the person who is an actual actress and has charisma and stage presence. Like, she was very clearly excited and thrilled to be there.
I can't remember her name, unfortunately. It would help if I could, but yes. Yeah, she was alright.
Yeah, I thought she... Apparently, she got a lot of hate on Twitter for this. Yeah. Lots of people complained. They were probably hoping for some other cunt from YouTube.
Yeah. look at what we're comparing here. This is clearly... And the other guy from Star Wars who was doing a play at the, well, not literally at the time, but who was busy with his, John Boyega, who said,
yes,
I'm beaming in from London. His bit was okay as well. That was
The Star Wars, the presentation of the Star Wars stuff was largely okay, I thought. Like, she actually had, like, charisma and stage presence, and she appeared genuinely happy and awestruck to be there, and it was kind of infectious, and... That was good.
I wouldn't go that far. Really, I mean, she's still being paid to be there. I'm not falling
for
this.
Well, probably. I mean, you just said that people weren't being paid to be there.
I was saying I suspect the YouTube people weren't. I suspect they were just flown out and because they're so thrilled to take part in...
You think that she was...
I think actual actors...
Despite the fact that she was clearly the one person who was most excited to be there.
I would imagine if you're an actor, you would hold out. Like, if you're an actual person of note who EA would like to be at your event, you would hold out for some money. Like, I mean, I'm sure Jose Mourinho didn't appear for free last year.
Because, yeah, but this might also be one of those contractual obligation things in that you have
to
do PR stuff.
True, she is in the game, yeah. Yeah. The one thing I thought was a bit weird about that was that they talked a lot about single player and then didn't show any of it. But I suppose it would, you know... They already showed half an hour of multiplayer, so
yeah, multiplayer is theoretically the one thing that everyone is interested in. It's just that it's quite a lot like every other multiplayer Battle X game. So, you know, we've seen that before.
Well, I didn't care to watch it. It wasn't an exciting match. You know, it would like
really. I don't know. I think I still would have preferred this to, like, the traditional Call of Duty. Here's 30 seconds of a level, and then we'll cut 2 minutes ahead to another exciting 30 seconds of a level.
Well, yeah, the Sony conference had the Call of Duty multiplayer reveal. I didn't even recognize it was a multiplayer reveal at the time until it was called that later. I thought it was snippets from single player levels. Anyway,
we are skipping ahead a bit, but I will say I can't even remember anything about that at all.
It was 2 minutes of like jump cuts between.
We'll get to that. The only other thing I thought that was okay about the EA conference presentation-y stuff was the guys who did the FIFA stuff, which I feel was kind of a mixed bag, but on the other hand, like, they had actually they weren't, I don't know, how can I put this, they felt like an actual production.
I mean, yes,
they were not to my taste, but
I mean, they're from YouTube as well, but they, you know, yeah, they've had a football show, not a FIFA show, they've had a football show for a long time. I remember them covering like World Cup stuff, etc.
Yeah, like they were not to my taste, but they were okay as opposed to almost everyone else.
They have the same problem though. Like, how do you go back to your YouTube channel and pretend to be talking honestly and critiquing honestly about football stuff or FIFA or whatever when you are a paid shill for FIFA? Like, how can you? You can't do it.
Well, yeah, that's kind of the point, though, isn't it? I mean, we haven't had this yet. We don't know if they are going to go back and cover FIFA, or if they're actually going to be ethical about it and say, look, we did this EA thing. Here's what we think. Believe us or don't. We did this EA thing. We're not going to cover it.
They're already attached to FIFA. They appear in... There's like a kind of video thing that plays whenever you start FIFA up. One of the windows has video stuff, and they're already in there sometimes, so like they're already signed up to the FIFA train.
It looks like they're in Alex Hunter's story mode a little bit as well.
Well, that is a thing
I quite like. I do like it when games do that, when they have like real life presenters and stuff like that doing little snippets. It feels a lot more real for fairly obvious reasons than when they have fake news network presented by some guy.
Yeah. I mean, I hope the story thing in FIFA 18 has a bit more of a presence from real people, real players and stuff, because the last one, it did have some real players in, but they mostly said like one line each and then fucked off again. Which was not terribly convincing.
In fairness, I mean, they probably wouldn't be that convincing, because I don't think most of them are professional actors.
No, that was also quite evident, even from them only doing one line. All right, so actual games. Games-wise, I thought A Way Out looked okay. That looked
A Way
like
Out
it
looks
some
interesting,
pretty
good. And I'm a little bit sad I'm never going to be able to play it because it's co-op only.
It can do online co-op as well, Tim. Maybe if they send us two, we can play that.
Or more likely, we can play it for 15 minutes or half an hour to do an impressions thing, and then we won't actually ever get around to finishing it.
Yeah, we'll do the prison bit, and then that'll be it.
If they send two codes for that, or three codes for that, then I'm just giving one to someone I know and occasionally play games with.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then I might actually get the chance to finish it.
We could record it all, Tim. We could do a playthrough. It can be the sequel to Omicron.
We can move into the territory of YouTube people.
Yeah, then we can get invited to EA and become massive hypocrites when it's us presenting FIFA 18 or FIFA 21, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to be presenting FIFA 21.
Yeah, well, that's going to be our double act. I'm going to be the one who knows some things about football. You'll be the one who doesn't. That's how our whole thing will work. It'll be amazing, and we'll talk about how awesome everything is.
I've got to say, right, I was genuinely, this is back to presentation again, but I was genuinely amazed and amused that they did such a big thing about FIFA at an event in America, and the two people they had presenting it were British, so they kept calling it football.
Yeah.
Instead of soccer.
Yeah.
I thought that was fucking great.
And their Madden bit was just like, I mean, they started with Madden, but it was a 3-minute trailer of the story mode in that game. That was it. Clearly they know their audience, and it's not necessarily an American football one.
What else was there? Anthem, which we probably shouldn't talk about because that cropped up again later.
Yeah, that was just a bit of a waste of time, really, in the EA conference.
I do quite like the look of Need for Speed Payback.
That's more your area,
it kind of looks like Burnout Fast and Furious, which I'm absolutely fine with, because Fast and Furious is tremendously silly, and Burnout is a really good series, and the crossover between the two seems like it'd work quite well. I'm all about like doing the heists, doing the crimes on the trucks, and smashing cars off roads and stuff. I just hope it doesn't take itself too seriously. I hope that it kind of embraces the ridiculousness of everything about it, in which case that might be quite good.
I think it feels like it probably is. I mean, it has a bit of a serious tone, but not too much. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see much of that, barring like here's a bit of a mission where we do a drive in the desert on our way to do a crime, and we'll smash up some cars and stuff. And yeah, it looks fine.
Did you see there was a bit of gameplay stuff where it was kind of like Spy Hunter. They were ramming into the back of a truck until they could steal a supercar from the back of a truck.
That was the crime that they were doing. And then they stopped. Then they stopped because you didn't get to see the second part of the crime where you switched to the character who nicks the supercar and presumably has to run away.
Maybe that bit's
going to be less good. Maybe you're not allowed to smash stuff because you need to try and keep the supercar intact.
Mm.
That would be rubbish.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you'll have an amazing mechanic person who can fix anything that you oh, wreck, probably. Including a $2 billion supercar that he's never seen before. That'll be fine. That covers EA, I think, fairly well.
Yeah, but, the only other thing I think that was really there, other than sports, because everyone likes sports, was like Battlefield 1 DLC, which we pretty much knew about anyway.
Yeah, so, going to be in Russia. Cool.
Yeah. Literally.
Yes. All right, then. That was Saturday. Next up, it was Microsoft on this.
Yes.
Well, for me, Sunday afternoon. Presumably Sunday evening for you.
Sunday evening, yes.
They were very excited about their Xbox Scorpion, of course.
Yes, the Xbox Wonks, as I believe it's called.
Xbox Wonks. Was it the
Xbox?
Was it this conference or Ubisoft where the Assassin's Creed guy literally mentioned the X bone in his in his talk? It was this one, wasn't it?
I'm pretty certain it was this one.
Yeah, that was quite good, an enjoyable moment there. They also said that this is like the most powerful console in any dimension, I think, at one point, which is a bold claim. I'm not sure we know enough about particle physics to really determine this.
Okay, this is one of my pet peeves, right, is when people use the word ever when what they mean is yet.
Right.
Because ever is the span of all time.
Yeah.
Like, past and future.
Yeah, yeah.
And people keep saying, this is the most powerful console ever.
Mm.
And every time I hear someone say that, I'm really tempted to write a news story just saying Microsoft stepping out of the console industry because they've just built the most powerful console ever, and so there's clearly no point in doing another one.
Everyone else is just going to retire. Also, it seems weird to make your main marketing point the newest console to date is also the most powerful to date. I mean, because unless you're Nintendo, that is basically what always happens. Really,
even if you're Nintendo, that's
that usually, yeah,
like Nintendo consoles are always more powerful than the previous
of their own stuff. I mean as a whole.
Nintendo kind of exist in their own little void.
I'm not knocking anymore. Nintendo, I'm just saying that, you know, the next time PlayStation announce one, that's also going to be the most powerful console to date. And then Microsoft will do another one, and that one will be. Like, of course it will. What's wrong with you?
Pretty much. Although I'm sure there will be a lot of spotty discussions about whether the PS4 Pro is more powerful than the Xbox Wonks.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
And yeah, whatever. I don't care. Look, why are we talking about the console?
Nobody I don't know.
Cares. It's a PC in a box. It was slightly ineffectual PC.
Because
in
it's
box.
Always funny to talk about how they think it's so amazingly powerful when it's just not.
God, it was fucking. It was super sampling, was what they kept talking about, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Even if you don't have a TV that can do super high resolution, we've got this amazing new technology called super sampling.
That
thing the PC's been doing for quite some time.
Yeah, but they also said it had. I know we're still talking about it. Sorry, but they did say it had a cooling system that vaped. That's quite trendy.
I missed that.
Yeah,
Microsoft possibly picked the worst way to open their conference because they did two things. First of all, they started with a lot of technical information about the Xbox Wonks,
which, and honestly, then they followed it up.
Then they followed it up with Forza, which only a certain subset of people really care about.
But they had a real car on stage, Tim, and they were very excited about this real car that they had.
They got to announce a new Porsche.
Just what I want to see from E3.
Oh, yeah. Let's be fair, it's a fuck of a lot more exciting than anything that happened at the EA conference.
It was more exciting than learning about the Xbox One X processor as well, to be honest. So I'll give them that.
This is going to be a bit of a spoiler for something I suspect we're going to do later in the in the podcast. But
yep.
Can we just agree right now that EA had the worst conference?
Yes, we can.
Like in terms of most boring stuff and most hideously slimy presentation.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. Much. Excellent. Now that we've covered that, we can move on to the rest and
definitely
order them
the
later.
Worst. So what did you see? What did you see early on that looked pretty good out of Microsoft? Anything look interesting?
Metro Exodus. That looks good. I like that. That looks nice.
Initially
I thought that was going to be like another remake of Metro 2033.
Yet again.
That was kind of what it sounded like. I can't remember how they phrased it, but it was something like a return to one of the favorite games. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was sat there thinking, is this going to be just Metro 2033 Redux re-released on the new Xbox?
Now
or
in 4K.
Is this or what? And then no, it turns out it's a new game and you can actually go above ground without instantly choking to death, and it seems like it's a bit more open worldy.
A little bit
and it looks pretty good. I like the look of that, but then I like the Metro games. They're a neat little take on survival horror stuff. In that they're also first-person shooters with stealth and heavy resource management and stuff like that. And yeah, it's good. I just hope that I am not punching trees 20 times to get enough wood to build a hut.
That would
be they can fuck off.
Is this out next year, or did they even give a date? I can't remember for this one.
I can't remember.
Well, I'm pretty sure it wasn't this year anyway. That much
I'm fairly certain it was 2018.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yep.
What about you, Peter? What did you see?
I was pleased that Cuphead finally got a release date after 19,000 years. I'm pretty sure that was originally out in like 2014, I think, was the initial estimate for that.
Yeah.
From what I know, originally it was going to just be a kind of boss rush game, and then it is more of a straight up platformer with bosses now, so that's what they spent the last few years doing, which in that case, fair enough, I guess. They needed time to do that.
I've had arguments with people about Cuphead.
Yeah?
People have been saying like, oh, all these, they're showing off all these indie games, nobody cares about them. And I'm like, fucking Cuphead! Everyone cares about Cuphead.
Look, right, if they'd started with Cuphead instead of Forza 7, I would have been completely fine with this.
There is something else, like, while we're on the topic of kind of the indie-ish stuff, if they had started with Ori and the Will of the Wisps, I would also have been totally fucking sold.
Also looked very good. I didn't play that first game, but it's one that looked good. I just didn't get around to it.
It also plays good. And I mean, I'm doing a play on words there because you say it looks good, and it is one of the most staggeringly fucking beautiful 2D games ever created. And yes, I am using the word ever because I kind of feel that when it comes to sprite-based 2D stuff with a certain art style, you can kind of get away with saying that, yes, this is going to look nice even in 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think it'll hold up. Their indie stuff was kind of weird because there was a lot of... it was difficult for us because there were a lot of things introduced which had actually already been announced for the PC, possibly even like years ago. And yet they were now coming to Xbox, whatever. So that was a little confusing to kind of work through. Some of those looked okay. There was one that was very Dark Souls looking. That I wasn't. You didn't like the art style of it. It was the one where the people have no faces. I think it was called Ashen, which again was seemed very Dark Souls inspired.
I don't actually remember that at all, which probably isn't much of a surprise considering how many fucking games I've seen in the past week.
I mean, that looked okay. There was got a bit of Life is Strange Before the Storm in this event too.
Yeah. In our email for this, where you've summarised all of this, you have noted this down as Life is Strange Before the Storm.
Yes,
I'm wondering,
I know.
Was that intentional?
No, it wasn't. That was a mistake.
I don't know what to make of this. They did stick up like half an hour or 20 minutes of gameplay footage, which I've refused to watch.
Should we talk about how this game is a bit, this isn't the one that Don't Nod are doing, right?
Yeah, this is being done by Deck Nine.
Yeah.
This is like their first foray into narrative stuff, but they're also, they've been saying for a while that they have now switched over to being a studio focused on narrative games and so on.
So basically we're getting this, which is the 3-episode prequel, and we will also get another, as yet to be really detailed in any way, Life is Strange.
Yes, which, sequel, as I understand it, as I understand it, that will not have anything to do with Max and Chloe and Arcadia Bay.
I don't think they've said, but I mean, the fact that this exists probably means it won't. This is kind of like their compromise, I guess. Like, look, for people who want us to carry on more Chloe here's this.
I could have sworn that something in the announcement about this also mentioned Life is Strange Season 2 and said that that will not be focusing on. I'm going to have to go.
Oh, right. Okay. In that case, that is new information to me, but also good, because I don't want them to.
I will go and look at this. I will try and dig this up on an official website or something.
I'm not sure how I feel about this. I mean, a prequel is not something that I think I want, but maybe if I play it, it'll turn out that it is actually something I wanted.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I mean, this is kind of those ones that I feel like it might be good, not something I'm particularly interested in.
I'm a bit worried it's going to just be this is okay. But
I'm a little bit worried that it's going to dilute the original experience, I think is the best way to put it. Because Life is Strange Season 1 feels complete to me.
It does. It really does.
And I'm just a little bit worried. I'm still looking for this.
That's fine. What else is there that looks all right? Shadow of War looks all right still. I continue to be impressed at how much they continue to fuck around with anything relating to the Lord of the Rings story. I think there's like another... Well, because this happened, a slight spoiler, this kind of is implied at the end of the first game that they're going to make another Ring of Power or something. let's just dilute that whole aspect of the narrative, but this bit of footage had a sassy Australian orc who looked like a good dude to have in your crew. So on the one hand, moving completely away even more so from the actual tone of Lord of the Rings, but on the plus side, they're embracing it being a bit goofy. So I guess I'm all right with that.
There was on the official Life is Strange blog, which is on Tumblr, because obviously
makes a lot of sense.
there is nothing, like, they don't outright say this, but it is pretty heavily implied. They say, Before the Storm is our reaction to so many of you asking for the chance to revisit Arcadia Bay. This is where Denver-based Deck Nine Games comes in. You know, it says, you're asking for the chance to revisit Arcadia Bay, so we're doing this.
Which means we're not.
Not only that, but then a bit later on it says, we know that many of you would love to see more from Max. Due to the way in which the first game ended, we didn't want to canonize one group of players' choices over the other. Which would also imply that any sort of sequel is not going to deal with Max, Chloe, Arcadia Bay again.
Yep. Yeah, Okay.
And it also says, Max's farewell episode really is just a bonus episode for those who would like to play as her one final time. Which,
right.
Again, so yeah, Life is Strange Season 2 really does sound like it is not going to be anything
All right.
related to All right. this.
Very good.
Or maybe it'll just have Max randomly turn up with a new hair colour.
Like, hey, I'm traveling through time.
Yeah, that's one of the other things, actually, that worries me a bit about Before the Storm, is it doesn't have the time travel mechanic, which means it's basically going to be a Telltale game.
Yeah, I mean, they may have something else, of course, but yeah.
I don't think so, because that wouldn't make much sense in the context of Life is Strange.
No, Chloe has special powers that she just then doesn't mention at all later on.
Yeah, she end forgets. Before the Storm means she forgets that.
Yeah, oh man, so that would be amazing.
But no, again, when the like 20 or 30 minutes of gameplay footage was shown off, they basically said, you know, Chloe doesn't have any powers, so when you make a decision, you have to stick with it. Which again is a really neat way of saying we've made the game less interesting than it used to be.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, if it turns out to be good, then great. But I'm a little bit worried that it is something that is being done for kind of the wrong reasons. It sounds significantly less interesting than the rest. And I don't know. Like, okay, maybe there are interesting facets of that story still to explore. But I don't know. Yeah. I haven't watched the gameplay trailer anyway. Or sorry, the gameplay footage. Because I don't really want to see like 20 minutes of episode one before I play episode one.
No, that could be like a third of it.
Yeah. And I know damn well I'm going to wind up playing this anyway, probably for review purposes. So
yeah.
I don't really want to spoil anything for myself.
Anything else you want to desperately mention from Microsoft's conference? I mean, there's some Assassin's Creed stuff, but Ubisoft will cover that, I think.
Crackdown 3 had the most absurd trailer. It had Terry Crews shouting at people.
Yes,
I liked that.
It did. Fine. Very good. There was that Dragon Ball fighting game that you were completely dismissing until suddenly you found out who was developing it and became at least slightly more interested.
Like, fuck's sake, a Dragon Ball fighting game. Who cares? It's probably not coming to PC. Oh, wait, it's coming to PC and Arc System Works are developing it. Never mind, this is going to be good.
Oh, shit, I have to be interested now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still not really interested because I couldn't give a fuck about Dragon Ball Z, but it's Arc System Works, which would tend to imply that this is going to be interesting. The part that gets me about this, though, is that Arc System Works make like really complex technical fighting games.
Yeah.
And Dragon Ball Z is obviously quite, like, the games tend to be quite simple and fan service-y.
Yeah.
Same with the Naruto games, the Bleach games, everything from any of the major sort of shonen anime shit. And I say shit both as a kind of general collective term and because a lot of it is really shit.
Controversial, yeah, so Dragon Ball Z opinions.
Dragon Ball Z is bad. So yeah, I'm kind of curious as to whether they are actually going to try and dumb this down and make a fairly simplistic fighting game, or if this is actually going to be as ridiculously complex as their games usually are. In which case, it's going to make a lot of casual players cry.
Yes.
I suppose one thing that we do kind of need to talk about from this a little bit, at least, is Anthem.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because that wasn't really covered in EA's thing. This is BioWare. It turns out that BioWare have invented Destiny.
Hooray!
Several years after Destiny.
Finally.
But don't worry, guys, it's Destiny with jetpacks and a bit more of an open world. So I guess it's like Ghost Recon Wildlands, only with like dungeons and stuff.
It's got a big wall in it as well. The walls are hot right now with Game of Thrones and Attack on Titan. So and Donald Trump, of course. So you got to have a wall in your game. That's the big thing.
It's a game. Like, what they showed off could not have interested me less. You would need to have two of me for me to care less about what they showed.
It had a great example of fake multiplayer banter as well, which is always good.
Yeah, that was awful. But on the other hand, let's face it, if it was realistic multiplayer banter, that
they wouldn't be able to show it.
Yeah. That would have been racial slurs everywhere, man. But nobody, who actually says, like, in a multiplayer, okay, I'm going to flank left.
Yeah, nobody. Well, maybe if you're playing Arma 3 in, like, a super militaristic group, then okay, fine. That's acceptable. But,
yeah,
and nor does anyone really, I don't know.
What was one of the other quotes? I've got a
level 30 sword or something.
No, it was the bit I liked was, oh, that's a big guy. We'll save him for another day.
Oh yeah. That doesn't happen. You go like, right, let's fuck him up, lads. Oh, we've died.
Or you look at it and go, oh, fuck that, no.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't have enough information about this game yet, and the information that I do have is like, this is in a genre that does not interest you.
I have no problem with the genre except for the multiplayer focus of it. Like, third person shootery stuff, fine, but like the writing, what little they showed of it did not interest me at all. It had no character, which admittedly did seem to be like random mission text almost.
The guy in the marketplace who's like, oh, I hired some guys, but I should have hired you freelancers. I take issue with them being called freelancers. I mean, freelancers cannot afford jetpacks. This is categorically inauthentic.
Well, this is a fantastic future, Peter, where people true. Have jetpacks and mech suits. Not the freelancers. But
freelancers are not just making a good wage, they're respected by their local community to the extent that they're sought out to do difficult tasks.
Graphically it looks astounding, but the dialogue did not amaze me at all. The setting doesn't really interest me a great deal, and like the gameplay style, I mean, the one thing I did quite like was like the seamless bits where they went underwater and they were somehow jetpacking through the water as well. I was that's quite cool. But other than that, it just looks like a game where you kind of have an open world and you do some quests.
You go out and kill some things,
guys,
and you'll get some loot, and then you'll go back and turn in that quest, and you'll get another quest, and you go out and you'll shoot some things, and you'll get some more loot, and you go back and get another quest.
And you'll level up, and you'll get different rigs, or whatever the hell their exosuits were called.
I know you can be reductive like this about many games, but you know,
this did nothing to set itself apart, really, except for the jetpacks.
I think
that was pretty much it.
I think just loot does not incentivize me unless it's incredibly unique and interesting. You know, like actually incredibly unique armor sets or weapons with vastly different move sets. And that's my phone. Sorry.
I mean, for fuck's sake, will you turn your fucking phone off when it comes to this, or at least put it on silent?
What if it's an emergency? All right, I'll turn it off.
Put it on silent?
We're
trying to be professional here, Peter.
Sorry.
We're trying to get invited to EA's showcase by being professional.
Yes, we're desperate to be invited to that. we need to move on from Microsoft. We're spending too long on these, I think. But
we will, but I do want to say one more thing about Anthem, which is that the problem I have with it is not that it's a genre that doesn't interest me, because I don't have a problem with the genre. I don't have a problem with loot. Mm-hmm. It's just the fact that this Anthem didn't really do anything to set itself apart. Like, BioWare, the strengths, at least you would hope, the strengths would be world-building, characterization, things like that. This has not so much been the case recently.
Once upon a time. Maybe that's why it's changing.
This isn't really what they showed. What they showed was a third-person shooter in a probably open world that you play in co-op with a few friends. And there are quite a lot of those games at the moment, and this didn't really do anything except being pretty and having jetpacks to set itself apart from them.
Yep.
And that's why I'm not particularly interested in it.
All right. Bethesda, then.
I liked the Bethesda conference.
And I liked the weird and discordant music they used for their pre-show, because I thought about the people who were trying to watch it at 5 a.m. like you, just slowly losing the plot.
Yeah, this was at 5 a.m. for me. It was quite a thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like quite a few decent things. Dishonored, Death of the Outsider, finally proving the completely fake reveal from about 3 years ago to be true by complete coincidence. This is back on like E3 2014 or something.
Yeah.
Where someone pretended that they were going to announce Dishonored 2, which had a whole load of shit, including you will kill the outsider. Now that's happening. Yes. Which is, weirding me out. But good. Also,
yeah, that
it's cool.
That is basically the only thing that this got right.
It also got you will play as Emily right, but that was kind of a bit of a given, I think. And they didn't say you can also play as Corvo, so fuck them. It was a fake. I was right to call it a fake.
Yes, it very clearly was a fake.
This is going to be standalone. It's not DLC as such. It's its own thing. It's its own game. But shorter, obviously. It's and also cheaper because it's going to be shorter than a full game. It's like $30 rather than 50 or whatever. And you play as Billy Lurk, and they kind of spoiled bits of Dishonored 2 in revealing this, I think, but oh well.
Well, I mean, the
it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, have you finished Dishonored 2?
I know that stuff. I know the reveal of that.
Okay, because I was going to say, I can't even talk about why that's a spoiler without spoiling it.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that is, yeah.
Maybe anyway. We should just leave it, but anyway, yes.
Anyway, this I'm quite a big fan of Expandalone stuff.
Yeah.
Just in principle, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people complaining that this should just be like a bit of $10 DLC, and they're just trying to steal more money from us.
But, well, we'll see how long it is. If it's 2 hours long, that's probably correct. But I mean, not if it's a 2 hour speed run. But if everyone finishes it in 2 hours, then
if it's 2 hours long, it is like half of a Dishonored 2 level.
Yeah, well, exactly. So that wouldn't be good. Yep. That was good. Wolfenstein 2 looked good.
Wolfenstein 2 looks good. It looks like Wolfenstein, basically, which was good.
Yeah, but the new Wolfenstein.
But you know, we've got. I believe this has bits and pieces like you can dual wield basically anything. Like you can pick and choose your dual wielding.
Yep.
So you can have like a silenced pistol in one hand and an automatic shotgun in the other in case you get spotted.
And they've got a hatchet now, and there are some bits where BJ Blazkowicz is in a wheelchair, but this does not prevent him from murdering every Nazi he sees. So.
Apparently, BJ Blazkowicz also has like a robot head now.
Oh.
So there was that one bit in the trailer where his head suddenly gets covered with metal and stuff.
So maybe the only part of him that actually survives is his head, and they're just attaching him to new bodies. Or something.
One thing that came up about this in, I don't know whether you watched more than was strictly necessary, I'm going to assume no.
I saw some other stuff about Wolfenstein 2 because I was interested in it, so maybe, but continue.
But I did watch some of the, what was called, I think, the E3 Colosseum.
Yeah.
They had developers and so on and so forth on. But one thing they mentioned was that when they created, I think, the New Order, I say I think because the New Order is technically a sequel to Wolfenstein 2009 or whatever it was, but it has fuck all ties to it. But yeah, they basically said that they, when they created the New Order, they had it in mind as a trilogy. Which moderately surprises me because the New Order works perfectly as a complete standalone game.
Well, that's a good way to do it, though, isn't it? Just in case your trilogy doesn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, they basically mentioned, I think they said that this is actually the first sequel that they've ever made. Like, they've it's a studio that's been going for like 19 years or something like that, but this is the first time they've done a direct sequel. So they're quite pleased about that. So yeah, that looks quite good, and that was... Actually, I'll talk about that in a moment as we close off the Bethesda conference thing. The other thing that was announced was The Evil Within 2, which kind of surprised me because I didn't think The Evil Within did well enough to warrant a sequel, but sales figures are always very hard to come by, so who the fuck knows?
Apparently,
either way, I'm happy to see this. I hope it's a good game this time.
Not so subtle burn on The Evil Within.
It wasn't, don't get me wrong, it wasn't a bad game. It just also wasn't a good game. It was just moderately disappointing, and it had a really stupid story. Like, it's the sort of story that seems really interesting to start with, and then you get close to the end, it's like, no, this is just really stupid. But yeah, that sort of that looks like it might be quite good. The brief trailery bits they showed did make it look better than the first game, so that's quite nice. What I was going to say about the Bethesda conference on the whole is that they did two things which I liked. One of which is that they managed to announce a bunch of stuff that was actually new. It wasn't just, here's a trailer for a game we announced a month ago.
I think about the most they did with that was the Quake Champions stuff, which they've obviously talked about quite a bit before, but that was pretty much it, I think.
A lot of this stuff was like leaked beforehand, but...
Yeah.
I don't think Death of the Outsider was, but nonetheless, it was nice to actually have a conference with like multiple first reveals. It was also a conference that wasn't bogged down in hundreds of bits of pointless shit that nobody cares about. It was by and large just meat, which was nice, and each thing was also given long enough that we had time to write about it. It wasn't a load of quick fire trailers. All of which worked quite nicely for me. We had new announcements, most of which were actually interesting. A decent amount of time was given to each of them. And they didn't try and fill with a load of boring shit, except maybe for, like, Creation Club or whatever.
Well, that didn't last very long. That was only about 3 minutes. I suppose we should mention Creation Club. It's sort of... They're kind of outsourcing DLC is kind of what I make of this, because it's a modding platform, but incredibly heavily curated to the extent that they're saying, like, you've got to go through alpha, beta, testing, etc., etc.
You know more about this than me, but yeah, from what it looks like, Creation Club is basically going to be DLC that Bethesda makes, DLC that studios that Bethesda approves of makes.
Yeah.
And DLC that the absolute top free modders make, again, as approved by Bethesda. So, heavily curated DLC. Which
is sort of the opposite of when Valve tried it, basically.
Yeah.
when there was no curation of anything.
Yeah, but that's because Valve are stupid and don't think anything through. We've been over this many times. Yeah. I've written articles on this.
I mean, I do... I have slight concerns about what this means for modding, but it's okay at the moment, because free stuff is obviously going to continue. That's all fine. This is for Fallout and Skyrim, I think.
As it stands right now, I'm absolutely fine with this. Like, if Bethesda wants another platform to sell DLC that they make and that affiliated studios make, the top modders who do loads of really good free stuff, if they want to chuck a bit of cash their way, that's absolutely fine by me. If this means that in the future they are totally restricting modding to this, in which case they're not actually doing modding anymore, they're just doing many bits of DLC, then they can fuck off. But I don't think that will happen, because modding is such a huge part of these games.
I want to know more about the distribution of payment as well. Like, there's nothing so far about how much
goes to... Yeah, good fucking luck getting anything out about that.
Yeah, part of the heavy curation is you don't get to talk to anyone about how much you get paid. I very mixed feelings about modding becoming paid, because I, in general, support people being paid for their labor in all cases, but I'm
so
also
you don't like modding being paid because you like people being paid. Got it.
I'm acutely aware that a lot of people who do mods literally say, we don't want to be paid, we do this for the fun of it, for free. Money corrupts shit. We don't want any of that stuff involved. So, you know, I don't know. I
well,
don't
they
know.
They don't have to be paid then, or if they get chosen, they can donate their earnings to charity.
I do know that the more you get a corporate squeeze on this kind of modding thing, the worse it's going to be for the openness in general. Now, this is obviously worlds away from what Take-Two have done this week with the GTA stuff. But
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you, but I feel like you are vastly doomed saying this.
Maybe, but we'll come back in like 4 years when all of Bethesda's mods are on this platform and you can't do anything else but go through this system.
Hey, look, as long as all of Bethesda's mods are on this platform, well, that's fine. As long as all the other mods aren't, that's fine.
Yeah.
No, I cannot see them restricting modding to that extent just because it is such a big thing with everything from Oblivion onwards, Morrowind onwards, rather.
Yeah.
People make full total conversions.
I wanna hope that's the case. I would say just to be vigilant about what large companies are doing when they want more money, because that's all they ever want.
I firmly believe that is the case. I do not believe that we are going to see mods being completely restricted by this. There may be minor restrictions on some of the stuff that you can do. It may be that doing bits and pieces like importing huge new models is not a thing you can necessarily do. I don't know. Mm. But I would be extremely surprised if we wind up in a situation where all mods for Bethesda games are now paid and heavily limited to only certain people allowed to do them and so on.
Well, like, I mean, it's not going to happen with this particular move in general, no.
But I mean, I don't think it's going to happen with Fallout 5 or The Elder Scrolls 19 or whatever.
I think it definitely will.
You think that when Fallout 5 rolls around, we are
maybe
not going
maybe
to
not
have
five.
Free mods
no, maybe not five, but I think this is the ultimate goal for people at ZeniMax Media, is to basically have control over everything that becomes, I hate the fucking word, but content in their game. And they want to get money out of it at every possible turn because their greed knows no bounds because they're a capitalist corporation.
You could not sound more Leninist if you
tried. That's me, baby. Fuck shareholder value is basically the summary of my concerns.
I'm still like halfway on the fence about this, if only because one of the things that people genuinely love about this shit is the modding. Especially because Bethesda are very well known for releasing broken games that are later fixed with mods.
I think there are enough people around still in those companies to say, look, you definitely sell extra copies because of the openness of mods. You need to leave that alone. So I think it's fine for now. I'm not sure if it will be fine in the future, but that is something that...
How in the future are you talking about?
Because
you said not Fallout 5 and not Elder Scrolls 19. I don't actually know if it is 19. I would have to go and count all the spin-offs.
57.
There have been a lot of fucking Elder Scrolls spin-offs. That's the thing. Like, I feel like this is...
About
sort of like
I think about 10
saying,
years. I think about 10 years.
I kind of get the sense that this is sort of like going back to the Atari 2600 days and going, someday these games are going to cost lots of money.
Yeah, sure.
And people are going to steal them using the phone. Like, yeah, you are probably right that this is a thing that will happen eventually, but it is still significantly far off, and a lot of other things will change in the digital climates.
That is true, yes. I mean, that's stuff I can't factor in. This is
why I'm having a hard time just saying, no, this is a bad thing, it's terrible. The apocalypse scenario you are depicting is sufficiently far off that there are so many other variables and factors.
This in itself isn't terrible.
Thank you. That's basically the statement I was looking for.
But you let shit like this go, man, and it all goes bad. It all goes bad. You've got to fight these things when they. You've got to fight these things when they come up, otherwise you've already lost. We've already lost the microtransactions war.
Alright, look, I'm already fucking bored of this discussion. So,
yes.
To quote something from the conference that we're not covering, which was the Devolver Digital Conference, clamp your gob, you fucking moron.
The Devolver Digital was, actually, let's slip that one in. That was the best conference by far.
That really was the best conference by far. I liked their announcement of earliest access.
Yeah, it's an important development.
You can now pay for games as soon as a developer thinks of them.
And also, the minute you complain about something on a forum, that will then change in the game instantly.
Yes.
The game is in a constant state of flux as people battle back and forth about whether something is overbalanced or not balanced enough, etc.
I had two favourite parts about this. First was the incredibly belligerent host, whose name I can't remember. The part where someone in the audience laughed and she did genuinely shout, "Clamp your gob, you fucking moron," at him.
It was basically Chris Morris's take on E3. It was great.
Pretty much, only perhaps slightly more surrealistic. The other thing I did quite like was that the camera kept cutting to the fact that there were children in the audience.
Yes.
Which was great, because there was loads of swearing and blood.
Yep. Children love swearing and blood. They do. They're famous for it. All right. The PC gaming show, full of PC games and PC gaming.
The PC gaming show, they actually had reveals this year. That was good.
They did.
They also managed to fill it with like an hour of utterly tedious waffle, which, you know, they've been doing for the past 2 years. So
yeah,
but they've made a step in the right direction. Well done, guys.
I think the presenter is now that Ubisoft have put Aisha Tyler in a cupboard somewhere. I think Day 9 is probably the best E3 presenter now.
Well, yeah, but that's because he is now, I believe, the only E3 presenter.
Other than Phil Spencer. Yeah.
Phil Spencer does not count as an E3 presenter.
He looks like Paul Rudd let himself go and melted.
Phil Spencer just like turns up four times and that's it. Whereas Day 9 and Aisha Tyler were the actual hosts.
Yes. Anyway. What did we have in this one?
We had XCOM, War of the Chosen.
That was actually quite... That was probably the biggest reveal, I would say, actually.
That was, I think, there were other reveals, but that was the only big reveal.
Yeah. Yeah.
XCOM 2 is getting an expansion pack, which is going to add in loads of stuff. Like other rebel factions helping you against the aliens and zombies. There'll be zombies. And also super aliens who you will fight multiple times over the course of the campaign. And all this stuff sounds okay, but the XCOM 2 DLC was kind of shite. And I think they kind of did... I'm fairly certain they kind of did the super powerful aliens that you will fight a few times in one of those DLC packs, and it was roundly considered a terrible idea. So I don't know. This might be great, or it might not be. Who knows?
This is kind of going to be our assessment for a lot of these things, unfortunately, because they're not out yet. The Warhammer 2 release date would have been a big reveal, except they announced it before the PC gaming show, so they kind of spoiled that one a little bit. That's out in September, which is a little bit sooner than I thought, actually. But fine, good. I've talked about Warhammer a lot. Warhammer 2 will probably be good. That's exciting. They also reminded everyone that Mountain Blade 2 still exists, which is a game
does
I'm also
now?
Also interested. It does. There was footage. There was two videos of a man on a horse riding around. I mean, that's Mountain Blade. Man on a horse with a spear, commanding some other people with horses to charge into things. That's
I'll believe it when it's released.
Yeah, it still doesn't have a release date.
This is going to be one worrying. Of those ones that in like 2020. Okay, no, that's a bit far off. 2018 or 2019. This is going to get released into early access, and then it's going to languish in early access
no.
for about 3 years.
No, I believe in Mountain Blade 2. It's going to come out next year. And it's going to be good, probably.
You believe it's going to be a full release and not early access?
Yes, I believe it's going to be a full release. Yes.
Wow, you're optimistic.
Yeah, see, I can be optimistic about things. I'm pessimistic about capitalism, but I'm optimistic about Mountain Blade 2.
You weird person. Okay, there was a lot of other stuff that was quite boring. Cliffy B came on, Dude Huge, as he is also known, came on to talk about Lawbreakers again.
He said the beta's going to be. He said the beta's going to be shit, but don't worry, because proper betas are always shit, so it's okay.
Yeah, he did some quite quotable stuff in that.
Yeah, he did.
I don't think he said the beta was going to be shit.
No, he
didn't.
He'd
done quite a lot of tweaks based on the alpha, which was shit.
Yes.
But yeah, they gave like beta dates and release dates, and he also said that this is going to be relatively cheap as far as these games go, because none of that bullshit where you pay full price for just the multiplayer.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. Clay Entertainment announced another game, because apparently working on Oxygen Not Included, or as I prefer to call it, Sidon Rimworld, is not enough for them. So they're doing some sort of RPG thing, which has graphics that look quite a lot like Shank, in terms of having that lovely sort of mature cartoon style. That looks quite good. And then Age of Empires is getting a remaster, and I don't care. I was never an Age of Empires fan.
It looks like it's going to be on Windows 10 only. Stop it.
I'm going to convert you, Peter. One and all.
What does this even mean?
You missed out on that one, did you? That's the sound that the priests in Age of Empires make. I can't remember when they make that. I can't remember if that's the noise they make when they convert or.
I didn't really play much Age of Empires, which is surprising. It's in my wheelhouse. Well, as long as they've remastered that sound to be in glorious. Flat quality.
I mean, it does seem like they are, like, this isn't just the original game with kind of a wrapper slapped on it.
Why is it only
going to
be on the Windows Store? They're idiots.
I don't know, because they don't like selling games.
I mean, maybe it'll come to Steam later, and maybe it's one of those.
Probably.
But yeah, anyway.
I mean, Age of Empires is, I believe, owned by Microsoft, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Probably.
Microsoft Game Studios.
I think it is, because their online, their weird online one was Microsoft published, I think.
Oh yeah, that's, was this the game where they said that Xbox Live was being used for the multiplayer?
Probably, yeah.
I can't remember if it was this or something else where those words struck an icy shard into my heart.
Yeah, not... Bad moves all round for this, I think. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Look, enough. The PC Gaming Show had like XCOM as an announcement, and then it had some other stuff, and then it also had like an hour of really boring waffle and shit that nobody cares about.
Yeah. Intel came out and said things about Intel and their i9 processors or something.
Nobody cares.
I mean, I might care in a couple of years when I'm making
you
a new
might
PC.
Care, except that
but
Intel had their own fucking conference. Didn't they?
Yeah, I think
so.
Yeah.
Shortly before.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, we did.
Great.
Yeah,
well,
the processors were already announced and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, that was PC Gaming Show.
That was
then,
quite boring.
Then Ubisoft happened.
Yeah.
With this isn't a PC game, but I want to mention it because it looked quite cool. it looks
really fucking cool, but yeah, admit it, this game looks goddamn awesome.
It was the Mario Rabbids game. To begin with, it didn't look that interesting. They were just wandering around the landscape and picking up coins and stuff. And it's like, yeah, all right, whatever. And then it turned into XCOM. What the fuck?
Well, I mean, you say it didn't look that interesting, but like it had a rabbit dressed up as Princess Peach and things like that. And that's
you're
awesome.
Right. That did look good. Yes.
But yeah, and then it turns out that it's actually XCOM. It's a turn-based strategy game with like full cover and half cover and, you know, all flanking and
yeah, all different strategic powers for all your different characters. Like, what?
Yeah, it basically looks like... this is a terrible phrase, but it looks like fun XCOM. That's not to say that XCOM isn't fun, but this is like XCOM with the fun factor, the Mario factor, the Nintendo factor.
I don't know, it's more, yeah, jaunty and entertaining rather than, oh god, all my squads are going to die to aliens.
Yeah, it looks like the sort of thing you'll have lots of characters with all sorts of unique powers and you get to do all sorts of silly things and, oh, it looks so fucking good.
Can we swap the crew too for Mario Rabbids?
Well, I mean, the crew too, like, might actually be good.
Yeah, but it's not going to be as good as Mario and Rabbids, is it?
Well, no. I mean, it's kind of the Ubisoft thing is that they release a game that has a pretty cool concept and it turns out to be a bit shit, and then they do a sequel and that gets it right. This is what they do a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the crew too has boats and planes, and it looks like it's got some sort of like extreme sports framing device, which that works okay for me. Like, gives me a good reason to do all the races and try and get all the first place rankings. It's also kind of a fairly common framing device for this sort of game, but whatever, it works. It's got planes.
It does have planes. Yes.
Do you want to talk about Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, sure.
You do that for a minute, and I'll just wander off and do something else.
Assassin's Creed is in Egypt this time, so it's Assassin's Creed Egypt. It's around the time of Cleopatra the VII, otherwise known as, you know, Cleopatra, that famous Cleopatra you've heard of. So it's late, very late era.
I'm back, sorry. What's weird about this, right, is that none of this felt like an actual reveal because of how much of this had been leaked.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, is it going to be in Egypt? Oh, is it going to be...
Also, the trailer had an assassin, like, sliding down a pyramid, which is the stupidest fucking thing
I'm okay with that. because it was the stupidest thing.
That was the sort of thing someone was like, oh, this would be really cool. We can have him slide down the pit, and then you watch it and you're like, no, that's just really awful.
It also had him fighting a giant snake, so who knows what's going on in this game.
Well, I mean, Far Cry 3 had drugged up hallucinations where you took on, I think it was a dragon. I can't even remember.
Oh, right. Well, okay. I mean, they keep saying that they're changing this up a bit. Things that it does look like they've changed. The combat, that looks a bit different. I wouldn't say it looks good, but it does look different. It's got parries, shield parries and stuff like that.
It looks like it's got lots of different weapons as well.
Yes.
And also it's kind of got loot and skill trees and all sorts of different ways you can do things. Basically, it looks like a hybrid between Assassin's Creed and Far Cry. We're calling this Assassin's Crygypt.
It also seems like you don't like climb up towers to reveal bits of the map, but the sort of guidance part looks a bit dialed back so that you will have an idea like, all right, there's a mission or a quest in this area somewhere if I talk to the man with the boat by the Nile or something, but it won't necessarily directly go here now, do this. So that's
also
potentially good.
You can telepathically control an eagle.
Yes, you can. And you can make friends with cats.
Can you do the Far Cry Primal thing where you can make the eagle drop bombs on people?
Do you mean make it shit on people? Because if that's
I mean literally drop bombs on people.
Oh well, either way,
that was one of the upgrades in Far Cry Primal, if I remember rightly. Was you could get beehives or something like that, or various different sorts of gas bombs, and you could have it drop them onto enemy outposts to cause havoc before you went in and murdered everyone, either via stealth or combat. And yeah, that sounds like the sort of thing you'll be doing in this Assassin's Creed.
In that case, I don't know, but I hope so. Yeah.
This kind of looks like it's going a bit more Far Cry. I do like the fact that they are changing up the Assassin's Creed formula a bit, though. Mm. That's good.
Yes, I hope it's quite changed up. It seems like it probably will be. The more, the better, I think, really, as far as I'm concerned. While still doing some kind of cool historical-ish stuff.
Let's just remember that the last time they tried to change up Assassin's Creed, we got Assassin's Creed Unity.
That is true. Yeah. A warning from history there. South Park appeared again for its, like, 33, I think, because it's been delayed so many times.
It's still a game.
Yep. Looked quite good. Still looks there was, good. They had some gameplay footage, not in the conference, but separately, of a lap dancing mini game where you, as a small child dressed as a superhero, have to give a lap dance to a drunken man while farting on him. So, A plus South Park material there.
That reminds me.
Wait, what can that possibly have reminded you of that is going to be in any
specifically,
way good?
Specifically, it was the bit where you mentioned the outside of the conference, because Ubisoft did the really annoying thing where they were like, here's a 2-minute trailer, and then we'll have a 20-minute gameplay footage thing the conference and a 15-minute interview on our YouTube channel. But yeah, that was one of the things which you did briefly allude to about Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
Was the cats, like all the animals and all the people apparently have like all different
routines.
They have like AI and schedules and routines and things. So it was like, okay, if you want to steal a boat from this fishing village, like they'll all be out on the boats doing fishing during the day, but if you come back at night, they'll all be asleep, so you can nick one really easily, and like cats will randomly come up and they might decide they like you and they will sit there and rub against your legs, and it was fucking adorable.
Good features, both of those things. Yeah. What the fuck was transference? I didn't really see.
I don't know.
Okay, good. Elijah Wood was involved. Was it a VR thing? It looked like a VR thing, but I don't know if it was just framed as a VR thing, but then actually not. Do we even know?
Okay, I genuinely can't remember. There was one thing, there was one game, which might have been this one, which I thought was VR only, and then it turned out to not be VR only.
It was probably this one.
VR, and I think it was this.
It was probably this. Yeah.
It's a game where you go into people's, like, the memories of this family, their traumatic memories, and you try and find out what happened, and then you kind of help them resolve their issues, and depending on what you do will affect the outcome and what happens to
it's Psychonauts.
You're trying to it's Psychonauts. It's psychological horror noughts, I think.
Nice. Nice.
I don't actually know if it's FMV or what, because the trailer had a lot of FMV with Elijah Wood and so on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the, like, the bits where you're not going through their memories will be FMV. I don't fucking know. They didn't explain shit. It's just really confusing.
Good. Also, they announced a pirate game. They announced basically multiplayer pirate bits from Black Flag. Only now it's a separate game. Skull and Bones is what this one is called. Looks okay, I guess.
Right.
I mean, I kind of liked the boat bits from Black Flag. I'm not sure if I want to do them in multiplayer necessarily, but maybe it'll turn out that I do. I'm not sure. Yeah, it looked a bit.
I paid next to no attention to this, I'm afraid.
Looked all right. Sail around with your pirate mates and try and disrupt shipping lines and stuff like that.
I'm amazed you actually just managed to make a game about piracy sound boring. Disrupt shipping lines. Woo! That's a ball point for the box.
Bring down the East India Company. Stick it to the man as a pirate. I don't know. Yeah.
Those would be more interesting than disrupt shipping lines.
I've been taking lessons from George Lucas when he wrote episode one. Oh, trade disputes. Fuck me. Right, okay. Far Cry 5 didn't show much of this in the actual event. This is one of the things that, yeah, was victim to the we'll have more later on. I saw a gameplay sequence where a person had a dog called Boomer, and Boomer the dog pointed out all the enemies for him and basically savaged a bunch of the enemies for him, and it was great.
This sounds like a thing what they have nicked from Far Cry Primal. Again.
Yeah, very much so. This looked even more like it was nicked from Far Cry Primal.
I did see a couple of bits of this. I didn't see like the full bits. I only really saw what they showed at the conference. But you will have like animal companions, so you can have savage people, and they can like bring you their guns and stuff, which is pretty cool. It looks like you can. You've also got your guns for hire and stuff, like a sniper who you can pick where you want her to set up. Which I quite like. It looks like they've kind of done the Ghost Recon Wildlands contextual dialogue for that, where if you like indicate a tower, it's like, I want you to go up there into the water tower. And that's pretty cool, rather than just going, go there. Okay.
And then the AI kind of like runs around the base of the tower because they're confused and they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I like they've kind of got the like contextual dialogue is one of those things. It's one of those little touches that I find adds quite a lot of immersion. I nerd out a lot about little things like that. Bits and pieces like that are a little bit different, but it still looks like Far Cry, which I don't really have a problem with. I kind of need to see more of it to decide, I guess.
And then we had Beyond Good and Evil 2, Tim.
We actually did. Admittedly, we had a teaser trailer for this, like, I don't know, 8 years ago, and then that didn't happen. But
now we've got another teaser trailer. Maybe it'll happen this time? I don't know. They don't seem to be very far along with this game, I have to say, which is a bit of a concern.
It has a lot of swearing, which surprised me.
It does, yeah. Which I'm fine with, in general.
I'm fine with it. It just surprised me. Like, Beyond Good and Evil was had some like quite dark story developments, but it wasn't a mature game. Mature in air quotes.
Yeah. I mean, the CG bit looks... good. I don't really know what it is yet, though.
I don't think they know what it is yet, Peter.
That's maybe what's a bit concerning about it. I don't feel confident saying anything other than Ansel wants to make Beyond Good and Evil 2 still, and Ubisoft are kind of letting him, but I don't know how far along he is or what's really going on.
I'm assuming it's going to be an open world thing. There is going to be melee combat. There is going to be stealth. There is going to be driving of some sort of vehicle, which now that I think about it, sums up almost everything that Ubisoft have done in the past few years.
They talk about like jobs and stuff as well. Like you'll start off pretty low down and then eventually you'll be commanding one of the ships that they... showed in the trailer, you know, and flying around between places and stuff. I don't know. I don't know. It sounds very different from Beyond Good and Evil, but that's not necessarily bad, depending on what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. The part that annoys me, though, is that this is going to be a prequel. Beyond Good and Evil ended on a fucking cliffhanger.
I know, yeah. Like, that's quite annoying.
You've been waiting years for the sequel to find out what happened. Oh, it's a prequel. Lol.
Yeah, I mean, earlier CG trailer teaser stuff did have like Jade in and stuff, but they obviously have ditched that and moved away from that. So,
I can't remember. I honestly can't remember if Jade was in them. Paige definitely was.
Jade was in one of them. They had her like running, doing some parkour and stuff. Definitely.
Right. Totally don't remember this trailer. I'll take your word for it.
It was one of the really early ones.
That's kind of annoying.
I'm
going to be honest with you.
Yes. Yeah, I kind of went from like, holy shit, Beyond Good and Evil 2, to feeling like, this is kind of annoying.
Well, I was sat there throughout the entire announcement going like, oh my god, this is Beyond Good and Evil 2. Wait, is this Beyond Good and Evil 2 that Monty just said fuck? But that guy does look like Paige. That is an ambulatory pig. Hang on, that was more swearing. What's going on?
Is Paige just in Far Cry now?
I am a little bit worried that they're kind of going to lose the tone a bit. I mean, I don't know.
It's been so long that I kind of almost don't mind them just basically starting almost again. But then at that point, it's like, why is it Beyond Good and Evil? Is it still going to have that? It still had that look to it, certainly.
I don't know. I mean, like,
we're confused, listeners. We're confused and worried about what's going to happen with Beyond Good and Evil 2.
We're confused and worried. That's like our default state about everything.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would say that it looks good, but there wasn't anything to look at. I don't even know what the CG
trailer looks good. Yeah, but
I know more about Transference than I do about Beyond Good and Evil.
And
too.
That's concerning. Very concerning.
But I am excited at the prospect of finally getting Beyond Good and Evil 2. I'm a little bit concerned about the fact that, as I say, this seems to be going a bit more mature because I loved the... I loved the style of Beyond Good and Evil as much as anything else. Whatever. Anyway, right. That's enough.
Sony, good news. Sony's very easy because they showed fuck-all PC stuff in general. And overall, their conference was quite lazy. It seems like they just turned up and put on their trailer reel. Fucked off again, which I can't really complain too much about. But so I guess the big one is we're getting a Monster Hunter on PC. That's pretty big news.
Yes,
Monster Hunter World. I know nothing about Monster Hunter really, other than it's quite in depth and intense and like difficult to get into, but rewarding and good if you do.
You're a person, and like there are monsters which you have to hunt, and they're like pseudo Dark Souls bosses in that they all have very particular attack patterns, and if you're not very good, they will smash the shit out of you. Most of your weapons will have like very long wind up times and the like, so you need to get timing and patterns and all that sort of thing down pat.
Right.
It's also got like, or it usually has, incredibly in-depth meta systems like crafting and companions and all sorts of shit. I'm quite excited about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. I don't really do excited, but you know what I mean. Of the announcements that were made, this is one that I am particularly happy to see.
I'm always quite happy when, some AEA, I guess, genre or series that I'm not familiar with, that kind of has something about it, that's kind of cult-like following about it, comes to the PC and we get to have a shot at it. That's good.
Yeah.
There's a bit of Marvel Capcom stuff, I think they call it.
That was like a story trailer, which I quite liked, to be honest. It had a bit of wit. It was quite pretty. I'm okay with that. I don't know how much story is actually going to fit into this, but whatever.
Then there was the aforementioned, back in the early parts of this podcast, COD World War II multiplayer reveal, apparently, but kind of wasn't.
Congratulations, by the way, listeners, if you've sat this far through our recap of E3, in which we've basically gone, they did this. It might be good, might not be.
This is the kind of thing people want to hear, definitely. I'm definitely sure of it. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, maybe not, but...
Whatever. We're nearly done with it.
This is what you've got.
We're nearly done.
So that was a trailer for multiplayer.
Call of Duty World War II is a thing that is happening. There was a trailer. I cannot remember a single thing about it.
One of the maps was set in Ardennes after the Battle of the Bulge. There you go. That's a thing I learned from it. Anyway, there was also some Destiny 2 stuff.
Great.
Oh, we got a release date on PC for Destiny 2. It's in October 24th, I think.
Was there a beta date as well, or something like that, or a beta time frame?
August was the window for the PC beta. So, you know, hey, information. So, something good came out of that.
Hooray! And yeah, that was basically Sony. Well done.
Really? Thanks,
and
Sony.
Then there was the Nintendo conference, which I mostly watched out of sheer spite at all the other conferences.
Mario can possess a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah. The new Mario game looks fucking great.
It can also possess people.
So does the new Mario and Rabbids game. I really want a Switch, and I feel quite bad about this.
Yeah. So basically, the PC takeaway is the Nintendo Switch looks like a good option as a backup console.
Actually, in fairness, out of all the consoles, that is probably the best one as a backup, because it is the one where the games will definitely not turn up on PC.
Yeah, definitely. Whereas most of the other ones probably will.
Most of the other systems are a PC in a box that connects to your TV.
Yep.
With a couple of exclusives.
There were some good things to look forward to. There were some good games that I think will be interesting and cool. I mean,
there are a lot of games that I am, again, I hesitate to use the word that I'm looking forward to, because it is these days genuinely rare for me to look forward to a game. Not because I'm a cynic, but because I have so many fucking games to play, and I know I'm going to play these anyway. Yeah. But there are a bunch of games that look like they will be good. Or at the very least, which I am interested to find out whether they are going to be good or not. Things like Ask Crygypt and Far Cry 5 and South Park and Beyond Good and Evil 2 and XCOM War of the Chosen, Evil Within 2. There are lots and lots of games which, yeah, big
Metro,
things.
War of the 2, all of that.
I'd almost forgotten about Metro. That was so long ago.
So far back, we can't recall it.
What do you think... As part of our summary, our roundup, then what was the best? What was the worst conference? And you're not allowed to say Nintendo.
Can I say Devolver Digital for the best conference, or is that also cheating?
I think that's also cheating, and I would also say that EA is kind of a cheat for worst as well.
That one's legit. That was the worst conference. Come on.
Yeah, that was, but we already agreed that that was the worst. So taking that one aside, out of the others.
Am I talking as someone who had to cover these conferences, or am I talking as someone just watching them? Because, for example, Sony's was great, because I had to write like two things. So that was brilliant. But as an actual spectacle and what was actually in it, it was pretty like, don't really care about any of this except Monster Hunter World. I think probably for... it's going to be between Bethesda and PC Gaming Show for... things what I am interested in, because Bethesda's had Wolfenstein 2 and more Dishonored, and PC Gaming Show had Warhammer 2 and stuff like Mountain Blade and a couple of other bits that looked alright that I can't really remember now. Basically, if there's like two things in a conference that interest me, that's a good ratio.
It's hard to
separate them, honestly. They were like, EA's was definitely the worst. The rest I found pretty much of a muchness, really. They kind of scaled back on the talking head CEO aspect, and then often just kind of showed videos, to be honest. It seemed to me.
I would say my own favorite was probably the Bethesda one, both as a writer and as a spectator.
Did you like their framing device of weird fairground?
No. But I did like the fact that their reveals were spaced out nicely. The whole thing felt pretty well paced. I went over this when we were talking about the Bethesda conference, but
you're right, it is good that everything there was out this year, you know, barring delays, obviously, but
there was that. There was also the fact, like, you know, it's like, okay, I need to write about Dishonored, Death of the Outsider, but they're talking about this for long enough that I can actually get that finished, and you know, there is not going to be 3 2-minute trailers in between that and the next big thing that needs to be talked about. You know, it was just a nicely paced conference with arguably 3 brand new game reveals. You know, I thought that that did quite well. In terms of worst, I don't know. That's a tougher one. I kind of want to say Ubisoft just because they dropped Aisha Tyler. But that might be a little bit unfair. Ubisoft actually probably did piss me off the most in terms of having to cover it, because they did the pacing horribly.
Yeah.
And because they also did the whole thing of, here's a 1-minute trailer, now go to our YouTube page for an interview.
Yeah, actual information.
Sony and Microsoft both had their issues. Like, they both felt a little bit phoned in and or corporate, and the PC gaming show again had too much waffle. I feel like that could probably be condensed down into about 40 minutes and it would be a good show.
Yes. Yeah, agreed. Definitely.
But yeah, it's EA aside, it's hard for me to pick an outright worst.
Why are we putting EA aside?
I think that's because that's so fucking obvious.
But that's fine.
Yeah, like, EA is the absolute worst. We've been over this. I'm interested in the second worst.
All right. By the way, it sounds like if you were actually at E3, it was an absolute shit show, because they obviously let in the public again and sold so many tickets that nobody could do anything except queuing up, which, as a British person, obviously I have some respect for, but on the whole, it's not good if you're trying to actually look at and play games. So,
probably not so great for journos then.
Sounded like a bit of a nightmare.
Not unless you've already made all of the appointments, in fairness is a thing that if you've been to an E3 before, you probably should.
And then if you can actually get to that appointment by fighting your way through the
shoulder-to-shoulder
crowd
at E3 anyway, believe me. I've been to E3, I remember the horror of trying to get from one side of one of the massive halls to the other.
With a public, was that one where the public were allowed in, or?
No. Mostly no.
Right.
Like, it wasn't open to the public, but there were
sort of limited people. Yeah.
Yeah, there were like people there who I think were sort of there with their mates or
they got in
because they knew someone.
Sure.
And you know, that was also I don't think that was anything I ever talked about with you, but that was one where Hip Hop Gamer was there.
Oh, Hip Hop Gamer. Yes. Fair enough.
And that was terrible.
he's an incisive journo. Don't knock it. Right. Surprised he wasn't at the EA conference.
Yeah. Yeah, he's clearly not big enough.
It's weird.
Anyway, E3 was fucking horrible, and I would say we survived it, except that after Friday, I'm not sure that's strictly true, and I'm still recovering. So,
well, we made it to doing a podcast, so that's good, and we kept it tight-ish, because it's only about an hour and a half long. That's, I think, a success.
Okay, so what did you play this week, Peter?
I'm
kidding, for the love of God.
Played nothing. I don't know what the podcast schedule is going to do now, whether we'll do something on Friday or whether we'll just wait till next Friday.
I would say probably that, but I think it kind of depends. Like, if there is loads of news and we play a lot of games this week, then sure, we will do one Friday. If not, then this will probably have to tide you over.
Otherwise, expect one in a couple of weeks-ish.
Maybe then we should have made this a 3-hour podcast to tide people over.
Well, we can do a tie-in episode where we talk about the things that were announced at E3 that weren't in any of these conferences. You know, there were a few things along those lines, but let's not do that.
No.
Let's instead stop talking and leave the premises. Yes. Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.
And silent.
under the dawn of that last great day.